Welcome back, Mighty Vandals, to Tubs at the Club, brought to you by Snake River Stampede Whiskey. But we'll tell you more about that later. We are the FCS second round victors on the Big Sky Podcast Network. I guess there's also those guys in Missoula as well. I'm your host, Dallas Hammer, joined today by Martin and Brian. As always, guys, the show is brought to you by Snake River Stampede Whiskey, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that later. Martin, instant reaction. I know you were over in the student section last night. Your thoughts on last night's overtime victory against Southern Illinois?
Win in advance is all I can say. It was a fun game. Yes, Patrick, sadly, I did leave my seat in the Kibbe Dome, so hopefully that doesn't leave too much bad voodoo going forward. But all I can say is win in advance, just survive in advance.
Amen to that. I think I lost about 3 years of my life last night. Brian Marceau checking in from Coeur d'Alene. Brian, your thoughts as you sat pretty close to me most of that game.
Thoughts before going like in depth is, dude, we have had such a kick-ass home slate. Like if you think about the, you know, games that Vandals will talk about into the future because the season was a winning season. That's why we have those games now. We had Sacramento State was a kick-ass game, even though like it was 9 points, but it was 2 points until the very last play. Then Montana State is 2 points. Montana State was 3 points. Montana was 2 points. And then we have this overtime thriller, which in some ways was, it was a slugfest for both teams. Just kick-ass time, man. As always, you guys can tell my voice is thrashed because that's the point of going to these games.
Yeah. Guys, before we get into this too deeply, just a quick recap for anybody that for some reason didn't watch the game. Idaho won 2017 last night in an overtime victory. Idaho scoreless throughout the entire first half before Ricardo Chavez kicked a field goal right as time expired to end the first half, made it 10-3. Idaho ends up tying the game midway through the third, then tying the game once again with just under 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter to extend the game, end up forcing overtime, and then obviously overtime happens. Idaho wins. Idaho will be hosting another playoff game. So, Brian, you mentioned that kick-ass home slate of games. Traded that D2 playoff game or that D2 home game in September for two FCS playoff games in the Kibbe Dome in December. That is a trade I would take 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah, dude, and it'll be the fifth playoff team to come to the Kibbe Dome as well. Because every team Idaho's played so far who is not Idaho State at home has been a playoff team. So, no, dude, 100% right. That we've covered this exhaustively. Getting rid of that D2 game was the right call. Anyone who is not 100% on board with that is a moron, and please stop listening to the show.
Yeah, I mean, I've got no pushback on that, Brian. Like, I know that there were definitely people that were not thrilled to hear four home games on the schedule this season, but, man, that really worked out. Mark Triple Piece in the comment section, shout out the Corner Club. Home games over 3 day weekends are garbage anyways. Yeah, I mean, especially for a local business, I'm guessing those home games over those 3 day weekends, students get out of town to try to go back home, try to go, you know, do whatever they're doing. Yeah, couldn't be happier with how this worked out. So Brian, let's jump into it. Let's not spend too much more time filibustering about, again, a schedule that's already happened.
Yeah.
You and I were sitting in section 7. Martin was over in the student section. Energy in the Kibbe Dome, honestly, 10 out of 10 to start the game. Vandals performance, maybe not quite so much, if you want to jump into just what you saw from the Vandals offensively in the first quarter.
Oh, I want to co-sign what you said about the attendance. It was 9,200 and change who were at the game, and it was an audience of people who were all bought in, ready to scream when needed, ready to stand. There was... If you were not going to get a sellout dome, what you wanted was as many diehards as possible, and that's what you got. So to me, I know the figures always seem low compared to what I experienced. I thought looking at the stands, it looked like it was about 80% full. But whatever, the number's 9,200, it was good, and the energy was good. So look, you brought up fans are ready, and Idaho's energy... I don't want to say that the team didn't deliver energy wise, but it was very similar to the Montana game in that for a long time, the Vandals were not able to give fans a reason to make the dome explode. And you got to give a ton of credit to that, to Southern Illinois. Southern Illinois defensively, they came to play. Giovanni McCoy was sacked 3 times, felt like he could have been sacked. I mean, he escaped a few sacks. exactly like Mark says, comment section, he ducked out of so many sacks. And the pressure, one, the pressure on Javonte McCoy is part of what kept this game. Hey, Idaho scored 20 points in overtime. Idaho's identity nationwide, you'd say, is offense first. Yeah, Southern Illinois held Idaho to 20 points in overtime. Southern Illinois is for real. But this combination of getting pressure on the quarterback, completely stuffing the majority of Idaho's run game, especially up the middle, Idaho could not really purchase real estate minus like two total drives. But the secondary of Southern Illinois also, they force some of those sacks, and some of those near sacks were coverage sacks because Southern Illinois secondary, and they trust their secondary so they can bring pressure. They stood toe-to-toe with Idaho's best in the FCS receivers for almost the entire game. Late is when Hayden Hatton exploded. So, hey, credit to Southern Utah, because Idaho, this was a dogfight on both ends. And Southern Utah absolutely came to play defensively. It was the tempo and style of game Southern Illinois needed if they were going to pull out a win, and they almost did.
Yeah, and then obviously, the recipe, it seems, for teams to beat the Vandals is turnover margin and defensively, obviously, limiting the big playmakers. And again, they held Idaho to 13 points offensively. Idaho truly would not have won this game without special teams, and we will get into that as we proceed through the show. But Brian, I honestly, this was the exact game I was afraid of seeing, was a knockdown, drag out, just defensive battle. Neither team really got a ton going. Roe Elliott had a couple really nice runs for SIU. As Ryan Phillips says in the comment section, Nick Baker was Houdini last night. Super Dave Dickinson reincarnated. Anybody that's not familiar with Dave Dickinson, College Football Hall of Famer from Montana back in the 80s, I believe, maybe early 90s.
90s.
Thank you, 90s. Old enough that I don't remember everything clearly. So, I think early, mid-90s. Anyways, Nick Baker just moving all over the field. Honestly, kind of looked like Mason Petrino. Didn't have a rocket of an arm. Didn't do a whole lot of dissecting teams with the arm, but just kept the pocket alive, moved out of it when he needed to, slipped out of four or five sacks throughout the course of the game.
It felt like 12.
Yeah, honestly, it was pretty sad. There were multiple plays that even Zach Kratzer had a sack in the, I think, fourth quarter, and he was the third guy to get his hands on Baker, and multiple sacks missed in the backfield. Just the kid was running around all over the place, kept them alive. Their offense was not necessarily world beaters. Honestly, if their defense hadn't been as strong as they had been, this is a game Idaho wins very handily when you compare what the two offenses did. But Brian, I'm more concerned a little bit with Idaho's run defense. Just at times it seems like everything is going super smoothly. And then again, Roe Elliott, beginning of the second quarter, broke off a 38-yard run where gaps were missed, I guess. All he had to do was shoot through a hole, slip past one hand, and it was gone. It was just empty field the entire rest of the way. Little concerning when you do know Albany's coming to town, a little bit different school next week, a lot more offensive firepower than SIU. But again, their defense just kept Idaho scoreless for, again, the first half, Brian. It was really tough to see. They were able to extend plays a little bit, extend the pocket. Idaho just didn't have the ability to do that very much last night.
Idaho didn't even break 100 yards in the first half until that final tempo drive, which, hey, I mean, we'll get to that, but if you did not watch, or if you did watch, it's not possible to come away and from this game without knowing that, hey, defensively, Southern Illinois was everything that we described on the show last week, and that Southern Illinois had a lot of chances to put that game away. But offensively, that's been their shortcoming the whole season. That's why Southern Illinois did not have a bye, because a couple of their bigger games, talking South Dakota and South Dakota State, defense shows up, but they just cannot provide enough separation offensively. But to give the complete context, because look, you guys are noticing we're talking a little bit more about this game chronologically, because that's how this game matters to me, instead of what went well, what did not. On the game, look, Idaho in Big Sky Conference season, they're the number two total offense in the Big Sky, averaged 422 yards per game. Against Southern Illinois, the Vandals did not eclipse 300 total yards, 293 yards on the game. So notes, Southern Illinois bottled up Idaho, especially in that near shutout first half, Dallas. which is to say, hey, things did start to, the halfway point, or honestly, it was close to the third quarter, but the halfway point did start to is part of where things swung Idaho's way. But it wasn't the offense that bailed Idaho out, which is what against Montana State, it was offense doing very well in one of the halves, and then, you know, defense doing well enough in the other half. Idaho's offense scored 7 points against Southern Illinois. It was special teams that came, well, defensively, we've already hit on that. Defensively, Idaho did bottle up Southern Illinois, but special teams is what saved the day for Idaho. And what brought Idaho out of its own grave is Jermaine Jackson's punt return for a touchdown.
Yeah, I think that's the no-brainer play of the game there. Obviously, we're going to get into the things that happened at the end of the game that I'm going to shout out one guy for making, honestly, I think the most impactful single play in, honestly, modern Vandal history, it feels like. But that punt return to me in the middle of the third quarter, Idaho just was not getting anything really going. Even coming out in the third, things just didn't go super well. Idaho went 3-and-out, and Chavez got a fall. I mean, you know, it's tagged as Chavez. Chavez got a delay of game punting on Idaho's first 3rd-and-out of the third. It felt really like, okay, got that field goal at the end of the second half. Defense should come in and play hot, and of course, forced a turnover on SIU's first drive of the third quarter. Shout out Trey Thomas forcing that fumble. Malachi Williams picking it up. Idaho immediately goes 3-and-out. Southern Illinois punts. Idaho goes first down, and then Giovanni throws a pick. Again,
deflected pick.
Yeah, deflected pick. But I think if you talked to Vonnie, I haven't talked to Vonnie, but if you talked to Vonnie, I think he would admit that was a terrible decision. Jake Cox was double coverage. It's by the letter, it's double coverage. There's two guys within 3 feet of him. Like, it wasn't, hey, there's a shell, the safety's going to move over as the ball's in the air. No, there are two guys literally on the tight end. Not a great decision there, but again, he's also under pressure the entire game. So as this is going on and things are just not looking good for Idaho, Nick Baker misses a couple huge throws that honestly should have been touchdowns, just overthrew a couple guys, and then all of a sudden you get Jermaine Jackson 86 yards to the house and it's a tie ball game when, again, Brian, like you said, the offense was barely able to get over 100 yards at that point. That to me was the change in the ball game that kind of re-injected energy into the crowd a little bit, because even I could feel it just sitting there. Like, it started to feel doom and gloom. I definitely threw a reverse jinx into the Discord, which worked, patting myself on the back there. But it just, Brian, it did not feel, up until that moment, didn't feel to me like Idaho really had a chance. And then, again, it took one play from special teams, and we're going to get into what special teams did the rest of the game. That one play felt like it changed the entire momentum of the ball game to me.
Oh, and it was the first play that the Dome really had an excuse to explode. And that's exactly what did. 86-yard, it was with 5 minutes left in the third quarter, 86-yard punt return by Jermaine Jackson. One happy, really happy Jermaine Jackson was the guy who had that play. One, because of what he means to the team, I think, as like a leader, as kind of an emotional voice. It is outsized compared to what his receiving yards impact have been this season, which we know he's a good receiver, first team all league last season, second team all league this year. But, you know, if there's a guy that you're happy that they've got at least one kick-ass senior moment in a good way in one of their final games as a Vandal, it was Jermaine Jackson. And boy, good Lord, did Idaho need that. Cause look, at the time of that return, look, that tied the game up. And this is just one of the facets of this game that if you didn't watch or you were not there, and by not being there in person, you might have missed out on this a little bit. Idaho was only down 10-3 at the time, but nothing was working offensively that Idaho is part of typical game plan. Idaho wasn't able to establish run game almost at all up the middle. And they didn't seem willing to challenge the speed of Southern Illinois on the ground around the outside. But then, you know, simultaneously, Giovanni McCoy, he certainly missed on a few throws today. His first pass of the game, Jermaine Jackson, had he connected, that was a touchdown. Giovanni just overthrew him a little bit. But at the time of that return, I can't tell you what the answer for Idaho was supposed to be, because hey, trick plays weren't working. Idaho's run game, not working. Idaho wasn't able to establish passing game like they wanted to because of Southern Illinois' pressure. It seemed like every single door you look at as a Vandal at that time, the door was shut. And then Jermaine Jackson's his touchdown completely brings Idaho back to life. Hey, Dallas is now on the shelf, so I'll be filibustering for a little bit longer. But no, that for sure is the turning point to me from the Idaho end, because from then on, I mean, look, in not that much longer later, Southern Illinois, they pull ahead early in the fourth quarter. They're up 17-10 on a Roe Elliott 1 yard touchdown run. And there's at the end, there's a little bit of back and forth after that too. But the only time to me the Dome wasn't doom and gloom was after that kick return.
Yeah, fully agree, Brian. And I want to mention there's about more live viewers than we've ever had before on the show. And I think some context to add, because I think a lot of these people probably left during the Petrino era. There were obviously not many people in the Dome in the Petrino era. There wasn't a whole lot of times to be excited about football in the Petrino era. The one difference I see in X teams is a guy like Jermaine Jackson. Jermaine Jackson had a pretty terrible game up until that punt return, Brian. He'd had a fumble on a kickoff return that, I mean, he recovered it, but that was not great. Then just a couple plays later on that fake reverse to that Jackson gets the ball, pitches it to Dwyer. Honestly, that pitch was terrible. I went back and watched the replay on TV. The ball's like spinning in the air. I don't know how Dwyer's supposed to catch that. Like it's spinning end over end to him. Like
minor stat correction. Your thread's correct. That was the Jermaine Jackson fumbled the kick and immediately the next play threw the terrible pitch.
Yes. Thank you.
It was like, just back-to-back plays.
Back-to-back things that, again, in the old days of Vandal football, that right there is the killer. Right there, that's headshot, game over, the team falls apart. Did not happen. The defense, again, held very strong. Offense continued to struggle things through until, again, Jackson got a chance to completely redeem himself with, again, one of the best punt returns we're ever going to see. But then, like you said, Brian, unfortunately, after that punt return, because the defense has been on the field this entire time, they run down the field. Roe Elliott punches one in from 1 yard out. All of a sudden, it's basically a quarter to go, and Idaho's down 7. Giovanni McCoy immediately gets sacked on a fourth down. Brian, play calling. I try not to pick on players and coaches too frequently. I know we do at times just because it's kind of how this goes, but I did not understand some of the play calling. That was we got that energy burst back up with that punt return, and then promptly after down a touchdown, go 4th and 2. And 3 routes just sprint down the field. Tight end, I believe it was Cox, goes on a short out route that was completely covered, and then he has to run up the field because, again, the out route is covered. McCoy takes a sack on 4th and 2 from SIU's 46. I don't understand what the thought there was. Felt like there was a lot of times of that where Idaho is looking for these deep shots, which, yeah, okay, you're trying to take the top off of their defense, probably, you know, get them to stretch out a little bit more rather than what they were doing, which honestly, Brian, the amount of times that they brought 3 men and were able to get pressure on McCoy, not a great sign for the offensive line. I know they were dinged up and they took even more shots this week, but didn't make a whole lot of sense to me until that final drive when things finally got put together. Again, after Nick Baker finally took a couple sacks, Idaho was able to get a little bit of momentum, and then we'll get about 10 minutes left in the game and Idaho gets the ball back. That's when things kind of changed.
Yeah. Hey, I want to just narrowly bracket what you're talking about play calling.
Let me pause you real quick, Brian, because I forgot to, there was one segue I was going to do there. You want to tell me about what you were drinking last night after this victory?
Oh man. Well, this playoff win, that's definitely a Snake River Stampede 1915 small batch night, but look, whichever option you go with, you can't go wrong. Snake River Stampede whiskey, 2 of the best buys in Idaho State Liquor Store at the intersection of price and quality. Your Snake River Stampede, that's $25.95 a fifth, $45.95 a handle, the only size I buy. And then your 1915 small batch, that's $38.95. The small batch is aged an additional 2 years compared to the standard, both of which are 80% corn, 10% malted barley, 10% rye. They both have their own double barrel finish. No matter which option you went with, you were a winner just like Idaho was last night. So if you haven't given Snake River a shot, you better be doing it for this playoff game, man. It's about time. Just like it was about time for Idaho to pick up a playoff win in the Kibbe. Hey, it's about time to try Snake River. So I want to very narrowly, so we can shift off it, talk about what you mean play calling wise. It was it was frustrating watching the game to see, for a lot of the game, Idaho just not, I just don't think Idaho was willing to challenge the speed of Southern Illinois on the ground around the outside. I think that the math of the, Luke Schleissner slash Jason Eck was they're not going to be fast enough. That's it. Like that's the O-line's not going to be able to buy the space they need. So where are they going to run? Well, that means mostly up the middle. Well, Southern Illinois bottled that up just like Montana. So then you might look at like, hey, why, how about Idaho can lean a little bit more on the passing attack? But like you said, so often Southern Illinois was able to get to McCoy with just three people rushing that there weren't a lot of guys open. And separately, when they did send the house, like McCoy didn't have a lot of time. Some of McCoy's best, like, hey, one of the best plays McCoy had, that short, that dump off to Nick Romano that Romano then took about 20 yards or so. He just got the ball in the right place at the right time very quick. That blitz was going to get McCoy if he didn't let go of the ball immediately, which is to say Southern Illinois was shutting doors for Idaho. That was, I think, part of why the game plan stayed the way it did, with the one big confusing thing. That almost goal line stand at the end of the game where Idaho lined up under shotgun, did direct snap to Anthony Woods. It eventually ended up in a touchdown. Idaho got to milk, you know, quite a bit of clock in getting, you know, 5 minutes milking the clock and getting that eventual touchdown. But it also was, it required a fourth down pass interference penalty on Terrez Traynor, which it was a pass interference penalty. But it was confusing to see Idaho. Honestly, I thought Idaho at first and goal on the one. I thought we were going to throw in Jack Lane for a tush push. And if you need to do that three times, go ahead. Good luck shoving teams back if they're going to do that three or four times in a row.
Honestly, Brian, even just a regular quarterback sneak. I understand pulling McCoy out and having Lane do it because, again, McCoy has been hurt. He's also much smaller. Lane is considerably taller, considerably wider. Like, just, he's a bigger guy. I would understand why you'd want to do that. But I do want to quickly harp on this because, again, I'm assuming everyone has watched this game. But if you haven't, looking at the play-by-play, Idaho first and goal from the one. Shotgun, Anthony Woods, rush middle, 0 yards. Penalty on SIU, illegal substitution. Play the down again. Anthony Woods, rush middle, 0 yards. Penalty, SIU, offsides, play the down again. Anthony Woods, 3 yard loss. Second and four, Giovanni McCoy, 1 yard run up the middle. Third and three, Giovanni McCoy, 2 yard rush to the right. Fourth and one, SIU, Giovanni McCoy, there's the pass to Terrez Traynor with the pass interference. First and one, Anthony Woods finally goes. Idaho takes 7 plays from the 1 yard. I mean, there's obviously penalties pushing back, but when they get first and goal from the one, they take 7 plays to get into the end zone. And Brian, what ended up happening is that ripped off a ton of time from the clock. Ended up, Idaho chewed up about 3 minutes of possession just sitting there on the goal line before, again, Anthony Woods punches that in, ties the game up 17 all before SIU gets the ball back at 4:17 left to play.
Yeah, which to put it in different terms, look, we all love what Idaho does offensively. Idaho is a number 9 offense in the nation, so we're not trying to adjudicate Idaho doing something different overall as our strategy. When things are working well for Idaho, they're creative offensively. That includes trick plays. That includes plays that create misdirection. That's part of why Idaho can be aggressive the way they are. When that's not working out, it comes across as too cute, which we had moments kind of like Montana where, hey, going for that 2-point conversion, putting the ball in Hayden Hatton's hands instead of Giovanni McCoy in that game, that came across as too cute in the moment. That goal line stand, had there not been that pass interference penalty, that would have come across as too cute. But look, hey, Idaho, again, they got done what they needed to. And to me, the transition here, because we're talking about the offense. The offense scored 7 points. This was the worst offensive outing for the Vandals of the year, and they came away with a win. The things that won the game for Idaho, we talked about special teams a little bit. We haven't talked about them enough because it wasn't just a touchdown return by Jermaine Jackson that won this game. Ricardo Chavez, two field goals, and the blocked field goal at the end of regulation. That's why we're still talking about Idaho in the playoffs. But just do want to touch defensively for a second. Idaho has not gotten to the quarterback as well as they did against Southern Illinois the entire season. Now, it was frustrating watching the game because Nick Baker, he's listed as 5'9", 200. There is no way he's 5'9". He looks like he's 5'5". And the 200, I 100% believe, might be a little bit short.
Brian, I'm going to jump in very quick. Roe Elliott, the running back, listed at 5'6". On the broadcast, they said that the coaches confirmed he's not 5'6". He's 5'5". Nick Baker is not 4 inches taller than their 5'5 running back. Continue.
Yeah. So the Idaho finished with 3 sacks, just like Southern Illinois did. But Idaho felt like they probably could have had about 10 sacks on this game. What happened was, a ton of times, Nick Baker, he ducked under sacks. Seriously, it felt like 7 to 10 times, and that was the move. He was not too shifty left to right because he's not he could move okay, but Nick Baker is not like Javonte McCoy when McCoy is healthy moving laterally. He's a vertical runner. His move, time and time again, is Baker ducked under sacks, and guys like Keyshawn James Newby, which, not to call him out, just an example, Newby was getting to the quarterback. That's how those guys weren't able to bring down Nick Baker as much as he did. But hey, if you're getting to Baker that much, it's because Idaho's pass rush was much more effective than we've seen the entire season. That's promising heading into next week with Albany. But then Idaho was guys like Marcus Harris, who he had the pick to officially close the game. Marcus Harris seemed like every big tackle that needed to be made came from Marcus Harris. He had a kick-ass game, not just as a, you know, in the secondary. I mean, in terms of helping stop the runner, stop pass play short, Marcus Harris was huge.
Brian, I think Marcus Harris might be my favorite defensive player that's ever come through this school. Watching him yesterday, by far and away the best tackler on the team to me.
Oh God, yeah,
not even close. From the efforts seen, honestly, throughout this whole year. And you don't normally say that about a cornerback, especially a cornerback that a former Tubbs host might have said should have gotten kicked off the team because he thought he sucked so bad. Dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. Anyways, Brian, we're going to get into Marcus Harris a little bit more because there's a big play that we're going to talk about. But I want to jump back. You mentioned specifically special teams and one big play that happened. I have to give a shout out to true freshman Xree Alexander because that play he made to block that field goal, which from, again, we were in the dome, and I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious. I definitely did not watch the kick. I sat down. Everyone is standing around me. I sat down and stared at the floor and waited for the dome reaction to tell me if I could start crying or if I could start crying. And I started crying, stood up, and immediately started trying to find like video on my phone of like what happened, going back and watching it. Somehow Xree gets just enough onto that ball, obviously blocks it. Obviously the only reason Idaho is still here and the only reason we are talking about this game as an instant reaction and not a instant reaction to the end of the season is because Xree is able to get that block on special teams and somehow keep the game alive. Because again, Idaho just allowed SIU to go down the field and questionable time management. I thought, I didn't know why Eck didn't call any timeouts there. Just allowed SIU to move the ball at will. Not at will.
Can I pause you?
Yes.
We know initially why. I think we know initially why he didn't call timeouts. Was hoping to conserve Idaho's 3 timeouts. But when Idaho was not able to get a quick stop, they, of course, did not want to stop the clock and give Southern Illinois more time to run their own offense.
Yes, exactly. But again, at the end of the day, get down to what should have been a makeable field goal. Again, if Chavez goes out there and makes that kick, I think everyone in the dome is expecting, oh yeah, Vandal victory. Hell yeah. Yet again, saved by special teams. Again, either kicker shanking it or kicker blocked.
Oh, hey, the replay, that wasn't shanked. You're referencing Montana State. I'm just going to bring this up. Yes. The replay, if you were in the dome, you did not get to see this. If you watched on ESPN Plus, you did. Even with the tip, that kick was headed dead center through the uprights. It was 100% that tip that saved Idaho's season. So again, special teams accounted for 13 of Idaho's 20 points. Hey, Thomas Ford, special teams coordinator. You guys have been good.
14, Brian, if you count the PAT.
Thank you. Thank you for that one. Thomas Ford, special teams coordinator. He's a guy we have not talked about as much on this show because most shows don't spend a lot of time talking about special teams coordinator. He's been good. His unit has been good all year. They were great yesterday.
Brian, honestly, I great. It feels like an undersell. Special teams is the reason Idaho won that game. The offense was obviously pretty evenly matched with the SIU defense. Just honestly, two very good squads just going at it. Idaho's defense, I think, ended up technically getting the better of the SIU offense just again throughout the game and the final score. But without Idaho special teams, this we are not talking about this. Without Idaho special teams, we might be talking about this being a 24-3 game that they maybe they come out in the throughout the rest of the second half and just put it on Idaho, because again, that punt return from Jermaine Jackson completely changed it. I'm rambling here. All I have to say is incredible work by Thomas Ford, running backs coach and special teams coordinator. I think, again, Anthony Woods has been phenomenal. The Nick Romano renaissance has been phenomenal to see. And then, again, I think Idaho's got the best special teams unit in the country, which absolutely matters when you're talking about winning a game in overtime, Brian, which is what we ended up getting to. And before we talk a little bit more about Marcus Harris in overtime, let me tell you about what I was really thinking about between that fourth quarter and overtime. Because again, guys, as I said, I didn't watch that kick. I couldn't do it. I almost threw up. I didn't drink at all yesterday. I almost threw up all over the Kibbe Dome. I was a wreck. It was not great. So what I was thinking about was taking a great all-inclusive week-long vacation right in my backyard. Hughes River Expeditions has been vandal owned and operated since 1976, and they're ready to take you on the vacation of a lifetime. Enjoy a multi-day trip down the Middle Fork of the Salmon, the main Salmon River of No Return, the Salmon River Canyons, or the Selway. You can even check out special trips like one to see the Perseid Meteor Shower. Camp on pristine beaches, run amazing whitewater, hike scenic trails, spot wildlife. Again, check out those beautiful natural hot springs. And as always, you can fish some of the most remote stretches of river in the entire USA. Just bring your clothes and let Colin Hughes and HRE handle the rest. Grab a paddle, catch dinner, and ride the bull all throughout the Gem State. Call them now at, I don't have the new number, the old number, 800-262-1882. Martin, if you could scroll down, thank you. I appreciate that. I haven't updated the ad read yet. You can call them now at 406-540-4450. There we go. That's the right number. Really crushing this ad read here. 406-540. Again, Martin, move the screen so I don't know what the last four digits are.
Jesus Christ.
4450. There we go. Oh, boy. Or you can check them out at HughesRiver.com, where you can find out a lot of these things I talked about. You can see pictures. You can even get that phone number. So the three times that I botched it, you can just pull it on the website, HughesRiver.com, Brian.
Well, since that ad read took 25 minutes, we got to close the show now. But Jesus Christ. I don't even know what the fuck we're talking about, guys.
We're moving into overtime, Brian, where Idaho wins, chooses to play defense first. And then we give SIU the ball on the 25. What happens?
Man, what happens is Idaho, we want to credit defense here, which we've already referenced a decent amount, but defensively, Idaho came to play. The Southern Illinois got three. They got three plays in overtime. Marcus Harris picked off a pass on third down, and Southern, that was it. During the drive Southern Illinois had in overtime, they accrued negative 3 yards. So what happened was, I think you could talk about energy here. And, you know, the momentum obviously swung Idaho's way, and especially for Southern Illinois coming off of the blocked kick. I think it's pretty safe to say momentum for them torpedoed. And then for the Vandals, the defensive team that played very well for a ton of that game too, they got their energy spike, and that was it. Southern Illinois had absolutely no prayer. And this is just off the top of my head. I'm not saying this is real. I wouldn't be shocked if after that block kick, Southern Illinois immediately was thinking, Jesus Christ, we have to get a touchdown.
And oh, absolutely. I feel like, Brian, that was in you and I even talked about it. You turned to me and said, okay, if you're in SIU shoes, what are you thinking right now? Are you thinking, oh shit, we just lost this football game? And yeah, that's exactly what I would have been thinking if I was an SIU coach, fan, player, anything. Again, shout out to Marcus Harris. incredible read and tackle on that screen in overtime. Shout out Brian Rust calling that out in the comment section. I get 3 yard loss to start off the overtime. Then again, short pass that ended up getting broken up. And then Marcus Harris picks that ball off and gives Idaho the chance to just kick a field goal to win it. And again, Idaho getting the ball from the 25. If you had to, I think you trot out Chavez right then and there. And I think he nails that kick. Obviously, that's not what happened. Idaho moves down, gets a first down, ends up getting it down to about the 10-yard line. I think they ruled it on the 11 before Ricardo Chavez. Brian, again, what we talked about a little bit last year, the end of the season, Ricardo Chavez missed that kick to continue that game and win that game.
Against Southeastern Louisiana, where he slipped.
Yep. Had to wait 1 year, and then again, hit one of the biggest kicks in Vandal football history.
Well, hey, kid, I want to talk about the development of Ricardo Chavez over his 2 years at Idaho. Because when he was here last year, the first half of the season, he could not miss. His first miss came against Montana. From that point on, he was about 60% on the season after that single miss, which not meant as a call out to the guy, but because he was healthy, it came across as he got in his own head a little bit last year. Yeah, he wasn't in his own head at all this year. I think he missed two kicks on the season, and they were not like back to back or anything. He just, college guys do, even good college kickers will miss a kicker here or there. It didn't matter because I had complete confidence in Chavez to win this game when he came out there. I'm losing my thread here, guys. Full disclosure, my night didn't end till super late. I had to hang out in the ER for a while where everything's okay, but I look like I slept 2 hours because I did.
Too much of that SRS last night really got to
not quite. But anyway, Idaho beat Montana State 24-21. Chavez had a huge kick there too. But I love that he got the like full circle redemption arc of kicking a game-winning field goal, but that to me is selling Chavez short. He made huge strides as a punter this year, and he had a couple punts that really bailed Idaho out defensively in this game, because Southern Illinois, when they scored their two touchdowns, those were on long drives, which is say Idaho did a pretty good job of not face planting away points to Southern Illinois. Part of that was the punting game, but then Chavez getting to kick the game winner. After last season, he slipped on the field goal kick that ended Idaho's season. Really glad that that's who got to win the game for Idaho. And just want to emphasize how much there was clearly personal development on the side of Ricardo Chavez from last season to this season, in how when he had the adversity of a missed kick, it didn't matter. He was fine.
As Randy White says in the comment section, broadcasters talked with Chavez before the game, and he said that the miss last year was the best thing that ever happened to him, fueled his motivation to be better. And my goodness, it worked, because again, Brian, I this whole season, obviously you mentioned last year, he was nails half the year, back half struggled a little bit. Honestly, this year, there was not a single time that Chavez got trotted out that I thought, oh, he's going to miss this kick. I had full confidence in him every single time. And I mean, it's pretty rare in a college kicker. I know that Idaho is known for being punter U and typically having pretty good special teams, but honestly, it's something to really think about and appreciate now that we have it, because who knows, not to say that the guys that are going to step in for Chavez next year are going to struggle, but that's absolutely a possibility. That this is not something that you can count on a year in and year out basis. And it's just incredible to know you got the best kicker in the FCS.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I was about to punctuate that with best kicker in the FCS.
Yeah. So, guys, we've gone through now the chronological review of this game. It didn't make sense to do our typical reaction of what went well, what didn't go well, because, again, all games are self-contained, but this is a self-contained playoff game where things fluctuated so majorly throughout the course of the game. So what I want to do now is I want to bring in producer Martin, because I want to do a quick couple talks real quick, guys. First thing, any final thoughts before we get into, I want to go over players of the game here and then just ask you to grade the season as it stands right now, winning a home playoff game in the Kibbe Dome. But before that, any final thoughts, Martin, that we haven't talked about or anything you wanted to get off your chest about yesterday's game?
Not a lot. I think the one other person I would like to give some credit to is Dallas Afalava. That dude was disrupting and getting in the backfield. It seemed like almost every single series, and that outside of X3 has been just like the greatest bright spot on this defense so far.
Yeah, great shout out there. Martin Eck even mentioned him in the post game as a guy that was just disruptive the entire game and has really come on strong. Is going to be, I think, a very key point of the defensive line for years to come. Brian, any final thoughts that we haven't gone over?
You know, it's Idaho's in the final eight, and Martin, you brought it up initially with Dallas Afalava. It is simultaneously an incredible season-long coaching job and just incredible development by individual players that Idaho has this many young, very young guys contributing at not off the bench, but contributing as starters, making meaningful plays in a playoff game against a very good, very well-coached team like Southern Illinois. Like Dallas Afalava, freshman. Keyshawn James Newby, sophomore. X-Ray Alexander, freshman. Jackson Eck didn't get a play in this game. I'm going to guess it was, well, he played like one snap. I'm going to guess it was health, because I don't know why else we would not have our starting middle linebacker play.
But Dylan Lane got a bunch of time, yeah. And guess what?
Dylan Lane, redshirt freshman. Ormani Arnold, redshirt freshman. Like, you just go through especially defensively, so many dudes. Honestly, outside of Trey Thomas and Marcus Harris, essentially everyone's an underclassman. So provided things go well, all these guys are coming back, and the defense is already good enough to get Idaho into a final eight where they get to host a quarterfinal. Just incredible coaching job. We talk about the individual coaches, but just across the board, Rob Warsh, Stanley Franks, anyone else in the defensive room, fantastic job with those young guys, and incredible personal development by all those guys. Because again, you talked about the D-line being disruptive, because it was. To me, this was the best our D-line has played against a playoff-level team, and Idaho needed every single one of those snaps.
Yeah, Brian, just to kind of put the emphasis on your point there, Jonathan Jacobs in the comment section saying, SIU has a ton of upperclassmen, Idaho being one of the youngest teams in the FCS. Winning this game says a lot about the recruits and the transfers that Eck is getting. Eck even acknowledged that in the postgame. He said, quarterfinals in year two, I don't know if I would have believed that when I started here. Again, I'm paraphrasing. I don't have the exact quote. You can go find it really anywhere online at this point. If you search Twitter for Jason Eck, you should be able to find the video. Excuse me, I guess it's called X now. If you search on X for Jason Eck, you should be able to find it. But gets into, like, this is a very young squad. And yes, there has been this incredible mesh of the young guys that Eck brought in and the stalwarts that came back from the Petrino era and have kind of led this team into the quarterfinals. But guys, this is not something I think any of us really expected. And that's where I kind of want to take things now. If you guys had to grade this season as it stands, again, Idaho getting a home playoff game, winning the home playoff game, and getting a second home playoff game in year two of Jason Eck, after we saw, again, just 2 years ago, Idaho getting blown out by 50 against an Eastern Washington squad that has completely plummeted towards the bottom of the FCS. But bottom of the Big Sky, I mean, realistically.
An Eastern team that did not get out of the second round.
Yeah, like, this is insane to me. I don't have words to put this into, how quick this turnaround has happened and how good Idaho could be set up in the future. Because again, Idaho is one of the youngest teams in all of the FCS, and here they are, one of the last eight teams standing. So Martin, I'm going to give it to you. Give me a quick grade on this season and give me why.
I don't know the why part. I'm going to say A. I think it's kind of already met my expectations for that I had coming in for this season, and I think everything else so far this year is just extra credit, if you will.
Yeah, this season is an A. Idaho checked a ton of boxes. One, like, hey, didn't beat the Grizzlies, that sucks, but beat a top five Montana State team at home, went 3-1, well, now 4-1 against a home slate of four out of five of those games are playoff teams. Made the playoffs, checked that box. Got a win in the playoffs, checked that box. Got to host a game in the playoffs, checked that box. Now hosting a quarterfinal, man. My view would have been, if you would have asked me this question, Dallas, with 2 weeks left in season, my benchmark is Idaho get to the quarterfinals and anything else is an A+. Vandals are there.
Yeah. To me, this is an A+ without a doubt. Again, hoping Idaho's got a home game next weekend, guys. Make sure, again, ticket notices just went out. So we'll cover that very quickly. Same thing as last week, guys. Same prices. Tickets go on sale 9 a.m. Monday for season ticket holders. You have until the end of Tuesday to get those season tickets. And then 9 a.m. on Wednesday, tickets go on sale to the general public. Again, you can find that information on govandals.com. Again, same pricing, same parking. Everything is virtually identical to what it was this week. But I do want to quickly jump into the comment section. Nate Mink saying Idaho has to be the favorite to win the 2025 championship. I mean, that's absolutely what this feels like, assuming that Eck and most of this staff is able to stick around here. It feels like we are watching a dynasty being built right in front of us. And that's something that is just really hard to grasp in, again, year two of Jason Eck. And then Randy White in the comment section has the Eck quote, "It's pretty amazing. If you would have told me we'd be in the quarterfinals in year two, I don't know if I would have believed somebody. I knew we could win here." Then he continues on to say, didn't think it would be this fast, and names a couple players and et cetera. But Brian Rust in the comment section, A-. Or maybe that's an A with a dash. I'm not sure. We're in a better position than we thought. We still have so much left on the table. Montana and Weber could have been wins. Still been an amazing ride. Honestly, guys, this is going to be one of the best seasons in Vandal history. And hopefully we're going to keep rolling. Again, we'll bring you an Albany preview next week. I think we're shooting for Wednesday because, again, there's a basketball game on Tuesday. So looking most likely Wednesday, we will announce that on our socials when we can. One last thing, guys. I just want to get some players of the game. I have a feeling we all know who they are going to be. But offensively, Martin, your offensive player of the game.
Hayden Hatton.
Easy enough.
Yeah, offensive player of the game to me, I don't know who else you would go with over Hayden Hatton. He had six catches. No other Vandal receiver or running back had more than two catches. Of the 183 passing yards Idaho accrued, Hayden Hatton accounted for 111 of them. So, no, he didn't get into the end zone. But if there was a big play through the air, one, there's a short Romano dump off I referenced. Other than that, everything was Hayden Hatton.
Yeah, Hayden Hatton, six catches, 111 yards. Obviously, the guy who pops the most statistically had over half of Vonnie's passing yards. I'm going to go with a bit of a curveball because I know this was a special teams play, but I'm going to give it to Jermaine Jackson for that punt return. Again, I know this is a special teams play, but there's a reason that I'm giving Jackson the offensive player of the game because special teams player of the game is going to be somebody a little bit different. So, Martin, your special teams player of the game.
I'm going to go X3 just because he had the block. He had the blocked field goal at the end of regulation.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Jermaine Jackson because without Jermaine Jackson, we don't have a prayer for that X-ray play to matter. I just don't. It's hard to overstate how big a deal that Jermaine Jackson touchdown was. Mm-hmm.
Nate Mink in the comment section again. JJ didn't even have good blocking on that return. He just made it happen. He really did. It wasn't like you see one guy catch it and then just get to the sideline and go down the field. Like he had to cross the entire field just weaving his way through the defense just to be able to score that. Again, this is why I named JJ as my offensive player of the game, because I think that realistically we should just be giving it to two special teamers, JJ and then X-Ree. Again, that individual effort to block that kick and save the season. Truly honestly, guys, we're talking about if X doesn't make that block, as many people have mentioned in the comments and our Discord, again, hashtag only tubs of the club.com. patreon.com/tubs of the club. The website actually doesn't work anymore. Anyways, patreon.com/tubs of the club. If you want to get in some of these discussions, X going to give it to you. And he did again, saved the damn season, guys. Last call, defensive player of the game. I think we all have probably about the same couple guys in mind, but Martin going to give you first crack.
I'm going to go Marcus Harris just because of the play he made. I believe it was hit at the beginning of overtime and then the interception in overtime as well.
Yeah, Marcus Harris, five tackles, two tackles for loss, and the pick to close the game. Yeah, Marcus Harris is my pick. I mean, if you're talking about someone else, well, Dallas, I won't say someone else because you might get there. But Marcus Harris, you already referenced it too. He just stands out as so fundamentally strong defensively, and then today, look, a lot of games we don't get to see Marcus Harris make as many big plays because teams aren't going to challenge him, but he still finds ways. And Marcus Harris, the tackles for loss were the pick obviously closed the game out, but the tackles for loss were huge too. He had multiple tackles, solo tackles, where he's the guy who saved Idaho from giving up a big chunk play that would have mattered.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about Dallas Ofolava, Trey Thomas forced the fumble, had a handful of tackles. We, definitely guys that had great efforts. Again, I think the defense played very, very well. Tackling was a bit of a miss at times, especially when it was, again, just guys diving over Nick Baker's head. But there's nobody you can give it to other than Marcus Harris. Marcus Harris, it could have been shredded the first 60 minutes of the game, and I would have given it to him just for his play in overtime. Again, blowing up that screen immediately, I think the nail in the coffin was missing that kick for SIU, but you immediately are on your back foot to start overtime. And then obviously Baker threw the pick to Harris again. Like, it's Marcus Harris. Ryan Marsh saying Harris played like the captain in preseason All-American. He is. Could not agree more. I think Marcus Harris is the straw that stirs the drink for the defense. If a big play is going to happen, I think he's the guy that's going to do it. And again, big time guys make big time plays, and those big time plays are moving Idaho onto the second round, guys. So this weekend, Saturday, 7 p.m., it is not on ESPN or ABC or ESPN2. It is only on ESPN Plus, but 7 p.m. Saturday, Idaho Vandals taking on the Albany Great Danes. Again, 7 p.m. Saturday. Let's see everybody in that dome. Let's get this place rocking. We have a second playoff game, Brian.
Okay. Thank you. Thought you were about to close the show. So before we close, hey, walk on apparel, in honor of Idaho picking up their win, has a special 20% off coupon code. The coupon code is Vandals20 in all capitals. It's about to be it's staring at us if you're a live viewer, but Vandals20 is 20% off for if you want to buy Vandal gear. If you haven't bought it from Walk On, you should be doing it pretty quick. Again, you said Dallas, get your tickets. The crowd of 9,200 was pretty dang good. We can do better for this next game. And Idaho is one of the only teams, like there's only 8 teams remaining, only 4 home games. But even if we extend that out, Idaho is one of the only teams in the FCS with a strong enough following now that our home field advantage can impact the game, can cause false starts, which I believe it did a bit. We want to have a little bit more of that as much as we can for the game against Albany, who the Albany Danes, we're not previewing, but spoiler alert, they're East Coast time. They get a 10 p.m. for them kickoff. Let's add some noise to the fatigue those guys are going to have. But a point I wanted to bring up, Dallas, before we close, because we've talked a little bit about some coaching calls that were confusing to us, and they did span first half, second half. I do want to acknowledge one thing, which is Jason Eckenstaff, he's been open since he's been here. He doesn't have like a single strict game plan he wants to stick to, but we do know his DNA is he wants to milk the clock as much as he can. I do want to give a little bit of credit to more so this game than in the Montana game when the offense was not working. Eck and Schleissner, don't know who made the decision about this. They did adjust what they were doing offensively to move tempo, which is to say, hey, I want to throw credit here. This isn't like a Bobby Houck. I think Jason Eck's version of being Bobby Houck and being stubborn is wanting to milk the clock a little bit too much every once in a while. 98% of the time it works perfectly, and that's why he's the genius we love at Idaho. But there are times where he has to go against what he intuitively wants to do, and then obviously that's tough for a lot of coaches. Not all coaches can. Idaho adjusted their game plan, and Idaho gets to play next week.
And then one final point I want to throw in, Jonathan Jacobs again. Offense wasn't pretty. Protection is far from perfect. Shout out to the offensive line for doing just enough to give us a chance, especially after Aiden Knappick got hurt. Again, guys, Aiden Knappick, I would say the best lineman on the team, goes down. Abe Christensen moves over. Again, Vonnie's under pressure the whole game, but hey, a win's a win. This was ugly. It was gruesome. Hopefully they beat the Great Danes into a shelter.
It's a different version of against Montana when Idaho had that was the first game that Vleem started at center. That's correct. Montana Vining. Was Vining, my bad. Apologies. Vining, the Montana game's first game that Vining is starting at center, which is to say Idaho against one of the best defenses it has seen the entire season has an O-line that is not what they're expecting. Well, hey, slightly different version of that with Napic going down early. And we know that Tagan Sissi is also, he's had some injury issues the entire season too. He played. But O-line is certainly not healthy. And against the probably second best pass rush, Idaho played the entire season. They did enough. And that's with how young the crew is and how injured it is and how we know it's not the relative strength of Idaho in the first place. That's all we can ask of the O-line right now. And they did.
With that, guys, again, if you want to hang out with us, patreon.com/tubsoftheclub. It's less than the cost of a cup of coffee. It's $2.50 a month to just, you've got the Discord, can talk sports with, or you can talk really anything with anybody there. Again, breaking it out to all the different sports. We've got dedicated game day threads for football games like this. It's not quite as active on Vandal home days because, again, people are in the dome. But now that you're able to get onto...
It was Air pretty Vandal. Damn active yesterday.
Exactly. Now that, you know, if you get into the Air Vandal guest network, even the people in the dome were able to keep it moving. Pretty active game day thread. And again, if Idaho is able to get a win this weekend, probably talking about going on the road. That's going to be, again, a road playoff game. That's when the Discord absolutely explodes. If you guys like our content, if you hate our content, just, hey, it's $2.50 a month to just come hang out and talk with us, talk with a whole bunch of other people that love Vandal football and Vandal sports, Vandal athletics, just this university in general. With that, guys.
Well, one last thing. Again, 1,000 last things. I just want to, I think you sold the Discord short, dude. The number of messages sent on the Discord in that game day thread, you would count them in the hundreds. It was a very, for a home game, it was an incredibly active thread. It's more active on road games because virtually no one's at the road games. But no, dude, like if I was trying to scroll to find where the start of the game day thread was from yesterday, dude, I'm still not there. And I am scrolling as I'm talking. So yeah, Discord kick-ass experience is a way to stay connected with Vandals.
With that, I think that is our final of our final points. We are just about at the hour mark for an instant reaction show. Again, instantly coming to you about 14 hours after the game ended. With that said, guys, we'll see you this week for the Albany preview. We'll see you this weekend for the Albany game. V's up. And go Vandals.
Go Vandals.
Go Vandals.